As we introduce our theme this morning, we're going to hear the story of Gideon. Now, the story of Gideon can be found in Judges chapter 6. But this morning, we're going to look at it in a slightly different way, because I'd like all of you to take part in Gideon's story too. Now, don't worry, you haven't got to get up from your seats. All you're going to have to do is listen very carefully, because when I say certain words, I'd like you to make a response. Now let's hear the story. There once was a young man called Gideon.
Who?
Me?
Yes. And Gideon?
Who? Me?
Oh, yes. Worked in a wine press.
Scratch, scratch.
And Gideon?
Who? Me?
That's the one. Didn't have a lot of courage. In fact, most of the time, he was very frightened. Because he was the smallest person in his family. But one day, while he was in the wine press,
squelch, squelch,
he saw an angel who said to him, "Hello, Gideon."
"Who, me?"
"Yes, you," said the angel. "I've got a job for you. But I've already got one in this wine press."
"Squelch, squelch,"
said Gideon.
"Me?"
And by now, he was very frightened. After all, he was the smallest person in his whole family. The angel replied, "Now listen, Gideon."
"Me?"
"Yes, you. I want you to go and fight the Midianites."
"Boo."
The Midianites?"
"Boo,"
said Gideon.
"Me?"
"Yes, you. But the reason I'm in this wine press,
squelch, squelch,
is so that I can get away from the Midianites."
"Boo."
"I mean, the Midianites?
Boo."
"Are big and bad. And I'm only the smallest person in my family. And most important, I'm frightened." "No need to be," said the angel.
"Flap, flap."
"God will help you, Gideon."
"Me?"
"Yes, you. But Gideon?"
"Me?"
That's the one. Was still very frightened. So he had an idea. He decided to ask God to do something impossible just to prove that God would help him. "I've got this fleece," he said to the angel. "If I put it on the ground while I'm asleep, can God make the fleece wet?
Drip, drip.
But leave the ground dry? If he does that, oh no, he can help me." So he laid out the fleece and went to bed. And in the morning, the fleece was wet.
Drip, drip.
And Gideon,
me?
Oh yes, was rather frightened. "Just to make sure, can I try it the other way round? So God makes the ground wet,
drip, drip,
and the fleece dry. Then I'll know God's on my side." So he put the fleece down again, and in the morning, God had done it. So Gideon,
who, me,
left the wine press,
squelch, squelch,
and even though he was small and frightened, with a few other men, he defeated all of the Midianites because God helped him. Well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was excellent. And I'll hand over to John.
Can you send the candidate in now? Come in. Well, sit down then.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I've read your CV. I have to be honest, Gideon. Most of the apprentices that come to see me, at least they look good on paper. even though they all turn out to be arrogant idiots. As you know, we've been looking for a project manager who can inspire people by acts of bravery. Now, tell me about a time that you've been brave recently.
Well, my father had an altar to a false god called Baal, and I pulled it down.
Okay, that sounds quite brave. How did you beat your father? I mean, he must have tried to stop you.
He couldn't. He was asleep at the time. It was the middle of the night.
How very brave. What happened in the morning then?
The people in the town wanted to kill me.
Ah, that's more like it. So did you fight them and kill them and one after the other in single combat?
Well, no, not exactly. I didn't need to fight them because Daddy wouldn't let them do anything nasty to me.
Gideon, I'm not really getting a picture of a brave warrior here. Let's go on to strategic planning. Can you give us an example of how you've defeated an enemy by skill and cunning?
Yes, I can. I was able to grind some wheat, even though our enemy, the Midianites, said that we had to give it all to them.
Yeah, the Midianites, yes. Yes, they're scary and smart. So, go on. How were you able to outsmart the Midianites?
Well, I threshed the wheat secretly in a wine press, so the Midianites never even knew about it.
I'm a bit underwhelmed by your cunning. Did anyone else find out about it?
Only the angel.
The angel? Gideon, do you often see angels?
Not often. Only the one that told me to tear down my father's altar and set the people of Israel free.
Ah, now that must have been inspiring. Exciting even. How did you react when the angel said that?
Oh, I told him to stop being silly, because I'm the least important person in the least important family in the least important tribe in Israel, which is the least important country in the world.
Gideon, I have to be honest. I really don't get it. We're looking for a mighty warrior, someone who's big and brave and important. A project manager who's able to inspire the load of lily-livered cowards that make up the people of Israel at the moment. Gideon, what makes you think that's you?
Well, there is one thing, sir.
Yes?
God told me, well, the angel told me, that I could do it because he would help me. He said, you will crush the Midianites as if they were only one man.
Gideon, I've heard enough. You come in here to apply for this very important apprenticeship as a mighty warrior, and you haven't got a single act of bravery or strategic planning to show for it. All you've got is a fantasy, a vision about an angel. With regret, Gideon, What? What? Really? What? This one? But what about all the others? Okay, then you're the boss. Gideon, with regret, you're hired.
And now Sophie's going to read to us a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. Now remember what you were, my brothers and sisters, when God called to you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. He chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing. in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I wonder, have you ever been asked to do a job that you didn't think you could manage? Maybe you thought you weren't good enough. Maybe you could see lots of other people around you that you thought were better qualified. Maybe you weren't confident in your own abilities. Or maybe you were afraid you were going to get it wrong or that people were going to laugh at you. If you've ever felt like that, I reckon Gideon might know how you feel. Gideon was called to do a very important job. He was to lead some people to defeat the Midianites. And as we've already heard, the Midianites were not very nice people to Israel. In fact, they were cruel. They destroyed their food. They attacked them. The people of Israel were terrified of the Midianites. Anyone would have been scared at the thought of trying to rescue the people of Israel from the Midianites' power. And if someone was going to take on such a role, you might assume they would be brave, strong, daring, adventurous. Maybe a bit of a James Bond type hero. And if you look at Judges chapter 6, where we are introduced to Gideon, you might possibly be mistaken into thinking that's exactly who was chosen. Gideon was in the winepress, and the angel said to him, "The Lord is with you, brave and mighty man." Brave and mighty man? Actually, brave and mighty man was everything Gideon was not. Now Gideon explained to the angel he couldn't defeat the Midianites. His clan were the weakest in the tribe. He was the youngest in the clan. In other words, there would be a lot of other people, bigger and better than him, stronger than him, who would be able to take on that challenge. But you know, I don't think he really had to explain all of that to the angel at all. This wasn't a case of mistaken identity. The angel knew exactly who Gideon was. And it was obvious he wasn't the bravest guy around because he was threshing his wheat in the winepress. Everyone knew if you're going to beat wheat, the best place to do it is out in the open, preferably on top of a hill, because then it would carry away the chaff and leave you with the wheat. To beat the wheat in a winepress, in a small confined area under the ground, protected from the wind, didn't make sense. Unless, of course, you were trying to hide because you didn't want to see anyone to see what you were doing because you were scared of what they might do to you. That was Gideon. So scared of letting the Midianites see what he was doing, he made the job 100 times harder for himself so that he could hide. Gideon wasn't brave, and Gideon wasn't mighty. But the angel knew that with God's help, he could be. And so his response to Gideon was this: "You can do it because I will help you. You can do it because I will help you." You see, the story in Judges is really not about Gideon at all. It's about God. The story reminds us that God sees us in our trouble and he wants to help us. It reminds us that God is stronger and more powerful than anything the world can throw at us. It encourages us not to depend on our own strength and ability, but to rely on God. At the end of the day, Gideon didn't defeat the Midianites. God did. But Gideon had to be willing to obey God and to trust in him. And because of that, God worked in him and through him in amazing ways. That reading from Corinthians that Sophie read to us reminds us that God still chooses to work through ordinary people, people that perhaps seem weak or that others look down upon, people who lack confidence, ordinary people like you and me, to accomplish his purpose. Now, I know many of you are going to find this hard to believe if you know me, but when I was little, I was incredibly quiet and painfully shy. Now, I know I'm not very quiet now, and I think maybe I'm just making up for lost time. But honestly, I was so quiet and so shy, I would hardly say a word to anyone wherever I went. When I went to school, I would go and sit in the classroom at my table, and I would do my work, and I was too shy to speak to anybody else, even on the table. I was so scared, I would never put my hand up in class to answer a question because I was afraid I'd get it wrong, or I was afraid that people would laugh at me. I would never go up the front of anything. I would finish my work and I would sit there for ages, plucking up the courage to go and hand it to the teacher and get off the chair and walk across the classroom. I was absolutely painfully shy. I had no confidence at all. But when I was a teenager, all of that began to change. At 14, I decided to commit to follow Jesus. Now, at first, I didn't think there was any difference in me. But over the next couple of years, my faith and my friendship with Jesus began to give me self-confidence. When I was 16, I performed in a school concert, and one of my primary school teachers was in the audience. She saw my mum in the interval, and she asked after me and my twin brother. And she said to my mum, "I saw Russell playing with the band. Where's Lisa?" "Oh," my mum replied, "she's one of the singers, the ones on stage." My primary school teacher could not believe it. "What, Lisa?" she said. "My quiet as a mouse Lisa," because that was her nickname for me, "little Lisa, who wouldn't say a word to anyone, she's on the stage?" "Yes," my mum replied. "She's really changed recently." Now, that change was just the start. After a few years working in finance, I joined Youth for Christ, and I began to travel around schools telling children and young people about Jesus. I went from being someone who never said a word in school to standing at the front of school taking school assemblies, primary school assemblies and secondary school assemblies, in some schools where even the head teacher got heckled in assemblies. Now, that is quite a transformation. And I put that change down to being a Christian. Because like Gideon, God called me to do a job and enabled me to do it because he was with me. There are times when, honestly, I do still feel shy. There are times some of you have said, "Do you ever get nervous speaking at the front?" And sometimes I do. But like Gideon, I know that God will be with me and help me to do the things that he's called me to do. So my question this morning is, what about you? Is God calling you to stand up for him and to live by his values, even if it means going against the people around you? The first thing Gideon had to do was get rid of the idols the other people worshipped. Now, yes, he was scared, and he did do it at night, but he still obeyed God, and he stood up for him. And it can be so hard in this day and age to stick to God's values and principles at school and at work. But if God has called you to follow him and stand up for him, then he will be with you and he will help you. Maybe God has called you to serve him in a particular way. Perhaps it's to find out about a team in the church and a ministry you can serve with. Maybe it's to be part of a mission trip. Perhaps it's to be a friend to a neighbor in need, or to look out for someone who's on their own and is picked on, and to stand up for them. Can I encourage you again, if you don't think you're up to the task, if God has called you, He will help you to accomplish his purpose because he will be with you. And he calls all of us to do different things. We've just sung that song, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. What is God's call to you today? The story of Gideon, I think, is a really inspiring one. And I hope it encourages you to listen to God's call and to choose to follow him, whether it's responding to his call to work for him, to tell others about him, to live for him. As God said to Gideon, you can do it because I will help you.